Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from AT&T, the passion to invent, the drive to deliver. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
The following is an installment of Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
So I've been dating a chick for the last couple weeks who works for a Democratic congresswoman from California. And, you know, with the whole recall election, Arnold winning and everything, he wanted to have a big party and sort of just reach out to the California delegation and stuff. So she invited me to come along to this thing. Everybody was there, like Phil Thomas, who's the Ways and Means chairman. You got David Dreyer, who, you know, he's working on Arnold's transition team, and he's the Rules Committee chairman. And then you have George Clooney was there, you know, he's doing that K Street show. Lots of Hollywood people. No, it's really cool, but it's funny, you know, looking around, no Arnold. Well, at a certain point, the lights kind of dim, and this big screen lowers down out of the ceiling, and all of a sudden, there's Arnold on the screen, and it was just really weird. He starts kind of talking to everybody, you know. Oh, this is a great day for the people of California, and, you know, all this kind of, yeah, we did it stuff. And, you know, everybody's kind of cheering and stuff for a little while. And then what was weird is it just kind of took on this real weird big brotherly kind of mood. But it seemed like he was really looking. It's like he was on this, you know, video simulcast or something. But it really seemed like he was looking at everybody, like he could see us. And then he sort of looks up above the crowd at the back of the room. And he says, everything is going according to the plan. The loyal will be rewarded, and perfidy will be punished. I turn around, there's this balcony that I didn't really notice before, and there's curtains or, like, screens sort of up, and I can tell, like, there's somebody behind there. I look around a little bit and notice that there's, like, hundreds of Secret Service guys all over the place, you know, and I look at this guy next to me, who is like this character actor. I think maybe he was one of the agents in The Matrix. I swear I've seen the guy before, and I look at him and I say, hey, I think the president's up there, and he just kind of gives me this kind of, you know, look like I'm, like I better shut up, you know. He's real curt. He's like, well, yeah, duh, who'd you think it was? You know, I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, I look back to the screen, and Arnold's going on and on, like, you know, like he's this super commander now. You know, he's like he looks very presidential and very kind of intimidating. And then the weird thing is like I'm looking at him, and he's sitting there, and he's in a suit, he's sitting behind this desk as he's talking, and then everything kind of morphs, and he's there all of a sudden, and he's in like this kind of crazy, like, army battle fatigue meets superhero costume. It's got, like, these big fins on the shoulders, and he's in this giant Humvee with this big, huge gun on top of the Humvee, and he kind of, like, pulls to the side and looks out the window and does this almost, like, Hitler, you know, Nazi salute, and he says, loyalty rewarded, perfidy punished, and then he pulls away in the Humvee, and it kind of goes over a couple of these sand dunes, and it disappears, and then, you know, as it disappears, you hear this, like, I'll be back, and then the film goes off. So I look over to this guy, and he's obviously, like, more relaxed now that this is over, and he kind of looks at me, he kind of cocks his eyebrow and sort of slightly opens his jacket, and he's got, like, this big bag of Coke. Like, it looks like a kilo of Coke, like, sort of pinned to the inside of his jacket. And he says, hey, man, you want to blow a couple lines? This is really good shit. Got in Columbia, nabbed it in Operation Condor. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, so he's, like, kind of, you know, nods his head like, follow me. So I start following. We wander around, and we're trying to find somewhere to do this coke. We go upstairs, we like poke our head in one room, and it's all just like politicians, blowing actors, you know, actors getting it on with politicians. It's just crazy, you know. We're like poking our heads in all these doors, and it's all sort of the same thing. We finally find this bathroom near the back. We go in there, we lock the door, and he breaks out the coke, and I don't do too much coke, and apparently this is really good coke, because I'm just like, I do a couple lines of this shit, and I'm bouncing off the walls, I'm jabbering like an idiot, and, you know, I start telling him about my new 9/11 theory. Al-Qaeda hijacks the planes get hijacked by the international super spooks, and they attack the World Trade Center with remote-controlled airplanes and stuff, and, you know, so I blather through all this stuff, and he's kind of like looking, you know, kind of bemused at me, and he says, how do you know all this? You know, I tell him I met this guy, Joey D, and I tell him a little story about the bar and the hurricane, and he's like, oh, yeah, Joey D, good old loose-lipped Joey D, and I'm kind of like, what, you know this guy? And he's like, yeah, listen, he kind of leans over to me, puts his arm around me, and says, listen, you only know half the truth. And I say, half the truth, really. How do I find out the other half? And then he proceeds to tell me this story, what he says is the whole truth about 9/11. Well, first of all, it is true that Al-Qaeda they hijacked some planes, and those planes were then hijacked by this international group that I just told him about. But those guys were actually then subsequently hijacked by another group. The key, he says, to understanding 9/11 is the second explosion. You don't yell action until the cameras are set up. Okay, so that's why the first plane, it doesn't really matter. That's why the second group let the international spy group hijack and take it and attack the first tower with that remote-controlled plane. That was just setting the stage. So by the time the second plane showed up, the World Trade Center had basically become a movie set. Now, everybody says that second explosion was like it was something right out of a movie. Well, there's a reason for that. It was something right out of a movie. How many times have you seen that explosion? This gigantic, breathtaking, cinematic explosion. Think about it. How many times have you seen essentially that same explosion in movies? There have been hundreds of Hollywood movies made over the past two decades with explosions exactly like that one. Now, how many times did you hear that phrase? And we still hear it today. They say 9/11 was the dreadful intrusion of reality into our sheltered sort of make-believe lives. But what this guy explained to me was this. 9/11 was precisely the opposite. 9/11 was the unreal coming home to roost. 9/11 was the unreal intruding on reality. That explosion was not real. It was something out of a Hollywood movie.
So this guy is basically saying that the second explosion on the second tower didn't even happen. It wasn't real.
No, there was an explosion. That explosion wasn't caused by a plane hitting the building. The building was lined with tons of explosives that were set off on the upper floors of that building. There was no plane. That part was all done with special effects.
Oh, come on.
Think about it, Ben. In the past couple of years, do you remember anyone doing something amazing with special effects involving large New York City buildings?
The magic guy?
Yes. This group hired David Copperfield to make it look like a plane hit the South Tower at 9/11.
Chris, this is preposterous. I mean, this guy just was basically coming up with a better conspiracy yarn than yours.
No, wait, listen, I'm not done yet. think about this Hollywood explosion for a minute. Tell me, think about all the Hollywood explosions you've seen in movies over the past two decades. When do they occur in the movie?
At the beginning.
Yes, at the beginning, precisely. Why? Because that's the setup. It's the act of mass destruction that tells the audience just how bad and evil and terrible the bad guys are, and why it is now necessary for heroics and revenge.
So, in this movie, then, the Bush people are the heroes?
No. It seems that way at first, sure, but this is not about Bush. Who is it in those movies and all those explosions you've seen we're all ready to see come out of the flames, come out of the fire, with one gun slung over his shoulder, the other one in his hand, shooting off rounds, ready to kick ass and take revenge? According to this guy, the group behind 9/11 is a powerful Hollywood supergroup led by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You're talking nonsense now.
No. The only way to understand what is going on in our country right now is to accept that our reality has been hijacked by the unreal. I mean, what I'm about to tell you won't make any sense unless you keep that fundamental fact in plain sight at all times.
Okay.
I'm about to tell you something that will sound even more insane than everything that I've just said.
Okay.
In 1991, the brain of Ronald Reagan was transplanted into the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All right, this is just dumb now. I don't even want to record this anymore. Really?
Ben, no, listen to me.
Do you even believe any of this? I mean, you don't believe any of this.
I'm not done yet. Listen to me.
Answer me first. Do you believe any of this?
Yes.
Why? How?
I'm trying to tell you, but you're not listening.
Okay, I'm listening.
Now, I had the same reaction as you in the bathroom with this guy, and I thought he was full of shit, okay? But as we're leaving the room, he turns to me and says, rent a few Arnold movies and check it out. Don't pay attention to the accent. Just listen to the speech pattern. So two nights ago, I rented this movie that he was in. It's called True Lies. And I swear to God, if you kind of block out the accent, you hear totally distinctly the speech of Ronald Reagan. And it's not like just a similarity. It is Ronald Reagan.
And this is why you now believe that Arnold Schwarzenegger is behind 9/11.
Yes. And there is one more thing. After I went home and watched that movie, I decided I'd call Joey Deke, the guy from the bar that told me the initial story about the spy group that hijacked the Muslim hijackers, and at the end of the night, he had given me his card.
Okay.
Well, so I called the number, and I swear to God, the guy that answers the phone is the same guy I was talking to in the bathroom doing coke with at the party.
The actor?
Yeah, and it kind of throws me off. I say, hello, can I speak to Joey D? And he just laughs and says, no. And I'm like, why not? And this guy says, because Joey D's been terminated. Loose lips sink ships, you know? And then he just hangs up.
You've been listening to Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
Alt.